Monday Nooners Senior Hockey Top 10 show for this week. Coming up, the Top 10 Senior Hockey Team Countdown in the province, brought to you by General Well Servicing Day Group of Companies. Of course, this show brought to you by the King of Trucks, worth the drive every time, guaranteed. Mainline Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, GM as well. Rosetown, Kindersley, Selby, and Watrous. We recommend you check them out for your next vehicle purchase. Give them a shot at least. See if they can't help you out. We're short Belts this week. He's skating in the Rebels parents' daughter game right now. Probably snapping it around with his wood stick from the 90s. So he's not here tonight, but we've got Millsy and Barry. The three of us going to go through the top 10 show this week.
Let's go. Truck month at Mainline, by the way, right? And then the Chryslers, Ram 1500s, lots of deals there. Yeah, so it's really whittling down. We're whittling, boys. What are we looking at? How many leagues have closed up shop? Breaker pullers.
I would defer to Millsy on that one. I would say, as we throw it over to him, I believe he has made more shows in 2024 than Belts. Had somebody message that in. So his attendance is better than Belters. So appreciate you coming on, Millsy. What have you got? How many leagues are done? Do you know?
I do. Well, you got the one from a couple weeks ago, the Maple Creek boys were our first league champion. And then we had four more crowned this weekend. And we will get into those when we touch base on the leagues. So I think that leaves us with five league champions, which should leave us with eight still waiting a winner.
Yeah. And I think they're all into the final, and most of them are, you know, getting to the point where we could likely have champions this weekend. So lots to talk about. We always start in Senior A, but we're going to start at the bottom. We're going to start at the D division, and no slouch to some of these teams. The Senior D bracket down to the finals, where it will be the Macklin Mohawks against the Redvers Rockets. Macklin takes care of Delisle handily. Redvers beats Foam Lake in two very close games. I wanted to mention our bracket challenge here. And as we go through these, I want to just say who everybody had from the Nooner crew going to the finals.
Good idea.
I'll start by tooting my own horn, because in Senior D, I have Redvers over Macklin. So still very much alive for myself. Barry had Foam Lake over Macklin. Huh. What were you going to say?
Half right. I was going to give a plug to one of the sponsors of the thing for everyone we do.
You're going to take a drink every time.
Yeah, me, so not you, so much, fellas.
Yeah, you had Foam Lake over Eston, according to my cheat sheet.
That's so, what I had as well. Boo,
tough slugging for the insider on that one. And Belter had Crake over Delisle. So maybe there's a reason he's not with us this week. He had the old Crake Warriors winning Provincial D. No such luck. So
Provincial bracket challenge for GB Construction. Awesome. G&S Marina. That's where the fishing package comes into play. Crazy Charlie's, lowest composite decking in Canada, apparently, at the moment. And Big Garage Guys. And the last one is Grain Bin Direct.
Yeah. Big time Grain Bin setup guys. Setter upper crews, best in Western Canada when it comes to that. Haven't heard much. Didn't have any boots, obviously, at Foam Lake Redvers, but two incredible games in terms of back and forth. And saw some of the stats and scoring summaries on some of those games. Like right down to the wire, 4-3 Redvers game one, 7-6 in game two. What I was told is, like, it was literally back and forth. Redvers score to go ahead, Foam Lake tied up. Redvers score to go ahead. And game one eventually goes to double overtime, and had a lot of people tell me, fellas, it was the best senior hockey game they had eyes on all year. For people in those two communities, said unbelievable entertainment for the fans out there in both of those games. Ultimately, what I was told, Redvers maybe just a little bit more forward depth was the difference. And obviously with their pickups from Rokenville, that probably helped that as well. I know the fellas from Foam Lake just said really respected Redvers. There's a lot of mutual respect going on there. Foam Lake messaged and said Redvers is a classy hockey club to play against. They will be a great representative out of the South in the D Provincial Final. And yeah, anybody hear anything on that series at all?
No, man, that was like a really good rundown. Got nothing.
The only thing I was going to ask you, Boz, is did you hear and was the rumor true that Home Lake's goalie did end up, Toth ended up playing game two?
He did. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good point. I was going to mention that as well. Old, some say Toth, some say Toth, old Romanian goaltender. Played in Romania for a cup of coffee there last year. Ryland, some say Toth, Toth. Did come back for game two. I heard he kind of was kicking there for a little while, gave his team a bit of a chance. Somebody said to me a message here. Toth was outstanding in the first to keep it close. Shots in game two, first period, were 23-6 for Redverse. So, yeah, kept him in until Foam Lake got their legs. But the Redverse Rockets going to the big dance where they will travel 747 kilometers one way, which is like Regina to Calgary, maybe even farther, to take on the Macklin Mohawks. Literally, you go corner to corner from the deep southeast up to the northwest, where Macklin took care of Delisle quite handily in their series. So, yeah.
I really, 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 really want to go to Romania. You know that? You know what Romania is famous for?
Cabbage rolls.
Transylvania. Transylvania. Guess you know what the capital is?
No idea.
Bucharest. Bucharest. Anyways, really want to go to Romania. Good rundown, though. Love
Talk
it.
to Tother. See what he could probably give you some hot spots. I
Yes.
don't know how long he was there. He was with Wadena there last year, and then he left to go to Romania. But settled in Foam Lake, and yeah, Macklin out of the north, like we mentioned, no problem with Delisle. I think it was 5-1 and 3-0. Took care of them. So game one going to fire up this weekend, Saturday, I believe. And then game two and three would be next Saturday, Easter Saturday, and game three, if necessary, Easter Sunday. Sorry, honey, not going to be home for the Easter weekend. I'm going to Redverse to play hockey. Sorry,
Jesus.
family.
Maybe drop them in Regina, Delta, little water slide action. Mama Bear can do some shopping. Would they go through Regina? Probably.
Oh yeah, no, you'd go yeah, through. I think you'd go to Regina and then up to Saskatoon and over, probably get the best roads possible for that trek.
Jesus.
747K. So that's Provincial D. In case anybody has anything else, we'll head over to Provincial C, where the Wilkie Outlaws had the weekend off last weekend after sweeping Dinsmore the weekend prior. So it was settled in Kyle. It went three games. We know that Carnduff won game one at home. And then they weren't even close in games two and three. 10-0 and 6-0 for
Isn't that
Kyle.
was it six
Funny?
or four in game two,
It
Buzz?
was a lot tonight. Might have been four.
Yeah.
Might have been
I think
four.
it was 14-0 total, and it was 10 the second. I think it was four, but yeah.
Remember, like we didn't give it to Kyle. We just said, oof, didn't expect this, right? Super surprising. And then bammo, whammo, slop chap style, freaking done deal.
So 10-0 in game three on Sunday, yesterday afternoon. Do you think where did they would have stayed in Swift Current? Where did they hit up Barney?
I saw they posted, seen, saw they were maybe the Acapulco posted with some
No.
pints on Saturday
Yeah.
night. So
No,
they,
there's some place and we just partied there and we went to our little pub crawl, the hockey dads. And it's in the basement of a strip mall, like downtown Swifty. And it was awesome. The guy that I was with goes, this is like a Central Butte wedding or anniversary. You got people that are 70 and you got people that are like 18 in here. And there was a live band and they were just Swift Current was a buzzsaw that night. But I think they would have stayed in, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah,
They
they
would
did
have went
stay
to
in
Swift.
Swift. I know
Yeah.
that for sure. They were in
They
Swift
would.
Current, but yeah, they couldn't muster up a goal
Ran
in
into
both games.
Maddie Larson at the JT's, BT's, something like that. Some Bolo Guy Q from Wong's. Nice little Chinese place.
So, yeah, Kyle gets it done like they always do. We had him off the list last week in the top 10, mainly because at this time last week they had lost game one and they just got eliminated from league. So I think we had them off last week for very good reason at the time, but we'll see if they crack back into the top 10 here later on in the show. Bracket challenge, Nooner, faithful picks. Millsy, you had Wilkie over Davidson. So you had the Outlaws getting there. You had the Davidson Cyclones, who lost a close first-round series with Kyle. Relatively close, I guess. The Bearcat had Dinsmore over Davidson. So you both took the Cyclones in the bracket. To toot my own horn again here, you'd think I'd be in first place with this, but obviously A wasn't my thing because in C, I had Wilkie over Kyle. So far, I'm buzzing, but you'll find out in when we get to A why I'm not in the top of the bracket challenge. But C and D, I was actually Belts, give a shout out to him. He had Wilkie over Kyle as well. So he was a insider in senior C in the bracket challenge. By the way, the leader right now, Chase Zednich or something like that. He plays for one of these senior teams.
The Dunich?
Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Is he from Romania?
He's leading the way, and he's going to be tough to catch. Although, if you're following along in the bracket challenge standings, the finals are worth 16 points. So it brings a few more people back into play with the finals being worth that many points in the bracket challenge.
Hey, before we go any further, I'm sitting here deep west side Saskatoon. Holy fucking potholes in the city, boys. I am telling you, it's like, oh, there's so many things I want to say. I'll get canceled. This hoopla thing, teachers and the government, you got to figure it out. Like small towns, right? You guys are both from small towns. Some of these small towns that are just like trying to hang a banner for provincial basketball. Oh, this ain't a good look for either side. If they got to cancel this, remember after fucking COVID, never cancel anything again. Nothing.
I just heard the latest. They're waiting till the ninth hour to pull the strings on.
Can the Nooner get insurance, rent the gym in Moose Jaw, pay the refs, and just get this done for the kids? Like, seriously, I am dead serious. Imagine being in grade 12 and you did an absolute wagon. Like, Roman's team had to split the championship this year with another Catholic school, elementary school, but whatever. This is grade 12, man. Banner time, like badminton banner for your bro in for Wilkie.
That's right. Hey, this is exactly the same age group too that grade nine that lost out during COVID too, right?
Transylvania weird for that group. Ugh, that sucks. Bothers me.
Senior A. I don't know how else to come out of that.
Segue out of that.
Segue to Senior A. Bracket update for the fellas. Well, I guess we could break down the series real quickly. Obviously, Keniston gets by Watrous in two quick ones. Game one, relatively close. Game two, four-goal spread. And then the Lumsden Monarchs come back and knock off the Round Lake Bears after losing game one. We'll talk more about both of those series in just a minute. Bracket challenge, who had what? Belts had Round Lake winning provincials over Wadena. Millhouse had Wadena over Lumsden. So you had the Narcs win in the South, but Wadena, man, they won game one against Watrous too. They could easily beat, I hate to say that now because they're not, but they get by Watrous. Who knows what would have happened, what could have been. Barry's got Lumsden over Watrous. So he was, you know, not that far off. He was buying into the Wagoneers. And myself, I had your Provincial A champion being the Wynyard Monarchs, who obviously lost a close one to Belcaris, who lost in three to Lumsden. I had them over the Keniston Blizzard. So I did have the Keniston wagon out of the north, but taking Wynyard out of the south kind of busted my bracket early, although I am T6 right now in the bracket good challenge.
Yeah, you're doing really well there. I was
you were second last week, and then you just fell off.
That's how much the first round means, right? Like, who gives a shit? Call us in 4 weeks, Barry. Drive the potholes in Saskatoon for 3 days. But let's, you know what I was thinking today? I was actually brushing my teeth. How impressed I am from Keniston. We kind of juiced them for a few years about not going A. And then they're so good. And they were like number one ranked team. And then this year they did it. And they're there. They're at the dance. So kudos to everyone in Keniston.
And that's that brings me to my point, actually. This is their first ever time going A in the history of the Keniston Blizzard. So one for one, getting to provincial final going A. They said the stars aligned, thought they had a good shot to go A without having to cut any locals, which was important to them. And the guys they brought in, Durand, Haynes, and Baumel, all have ties to the team as well, weren't on any other team's roster. So they didn't have to work around other team schedules. And he's on our team for provincials, but he can't play because of league. So
good point.
That's what Caniston did to an already impressive league team. Added those guys.
Dooley as well.
Yeah, there you go. Old
first
duels.
Time. First time they've ever gone A. Like, that is sentimental. Makes you want to hop on that. Probably there's guys from Lumsden that even want them to win now.
Is that is there a guy named Durand, or was that supposed to be Dooley?
Durand.
And then there's Durand, Ken Durand. Dooley too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, duels.
I thought that was over everyone's head there.
So, yeah, on the flip side of that, Lumsden Monarchs, this is their first time ever getting into the A final in their history, which might surprise some people as well. I did some background checking with some folks out in Lumsden. They've never been in the Provincial A final. So somebody's going to hang their first one, right?
Same guy from out Lumsden way. That's always your Lumsden guy.
I got a couple sources out in Lumsden. One real go-to patio block guy that I talk to. But
and the other guy works at the meat shop.
The other guy makes vodka. So Keniston Watrous. I don't know if anybody heard much there. Millsy, I'm sure you had some sort of roundabout boots on the ground there, maybe.
I had a buddy that went and said the second game was much cleaner. Well, I shouldn't say. Overall cleaner game. Not, I think things got a little chippy, but it was an overall better hockey game in game two. Game one, they sound a little scrambly. Game two seemed to be a little bit more controlled, but it's what I expected. It was Keniston winning three, four goals. I expected that. So it didn't surprise me when I seen the score on Saturday night.
So
I heard I heard the Watchers Tendy maybe let in a couple of ones that he wished he had maybe had back, and that might have turned the game and the tide around a little bit.
Just an FYI, I reached out to Keniston for comment, and they actually said they did scout arenas in Saskatoon for a potential provincial final. They looked into it. At the end of the day, I don't think they found anything available that suited their needs. And they said they also made the decision to stay in their local arena, and it was an easy one. Senior hockey's about community and representing your town, so we'll fill our rink to the brim, have a few GW Wobbly Pops and rink burgers, and enjoy some great hockey. So I think that's the right call there. And I think the call becomes a little bit easier when the team you're playing might not bring 700 fans. Obviously, that's what Round Lake brought to the table, and obviously the Round Lake Bears added a element to senior hockey this year that I think from a fan perspective, we haven't maybe ever seen saw, right? How many times in your life have you been at Horse a rink Lake 2 hours early?
Like right. People in this area. Yeah. That's probably a good point.
Like, I think they brought something to the provincials and just fans, and, you know, like they added to the whole provincials this year with their fan base and the talk and everything around it for sure.
There was an aurora around that team of what to expect. So it was good to see. But like we talked about Boz yesterday, how many times were we at a game watching 5, 6, 7-year-old figure skating 2.5 hours before puck drop?
It is full. Yes. It would be very similar to if Aurora, Illinois was in state basketball championships.
Big Aurora guy. At least Belt's not here. At least we got somebody else to butcher words and phrases. You fit in nicely there. You know what, though? And, like, we were both in OCHAP on Saturday, and it wasn't as raucous of a crowd as I expected. Okay, back on the rails.
People listen to the show religiously are going to pee at that.
And other people are going to be like, what are... Just like everyone on social media, takes everything we put out there so very serious. But, Millsy, okay, OCHAP, Round Lake, wins game one, Lumsden, hell of a hockey game. We all had boots on the ground for that one. Even Belts was out there for that one. Game two goes back to OCHAP last weekend. I think before the series, we all said it's going to be Lumsden. After game one, most of us were thinking it was going to be Round Lake based on what we saw in game one. I know you two both picked Round Lake after game one. Game two, you were there, Millsy. I was there, Millsy. Made the drive to the Chief George Denton Memorial Multiplex. Say that five times fast. First time I've been in that rink. Beautiful rink. Beautiful atmosphere. It was what I thought was going to be a great game. And quite honestly, Josh, it was a stinker. It was brutal.
Well, and it's funny you say that because I had an opportunity to chat with a couple of those guys before and even their coaching staff, and hearing who was in, who was out for Lumsden, who was maybe not coming. There was talk that, oh, Lumsden's just going to throw the game and not even show up and blah, blah, blah. And I said, don't, this is a, they're still a scary good hockey team, whether they have three, four guys missing and two of top three guys, whatever you want to say. Anyway, he's like, yeah, no, I know. We're just going to go and we're going to compete and we'll go win. That game started. I thought, from my own personal opinion, there was zero compete, zero want in any of those Round Lake boys. I don't know. They took it like they were just going to show up and win. I'm not sure, but it was awful. From probably a fan perspective,
it was what they thought. Nobody was into it the whole game. You know, like the first period was okay, semi-competitive, score was relatively close, but man, and you look at Lumsden, like, they're missing a lot of guys. Johnson still suspended. Looning was out. Torrey Lindsay was out hurt.
Shoop and Hall were playing in
Not a Q
finals. Yep.
Like, they had a couple of guys dressed, good guys, friend of the show, a couple of local guys who don't get into the lineup if everybody's there, were there, and they were dressed. They ended up getting into the game when it was a blowout in the third period, got a chance to get some ice time. But I was blown away with how lopsided that one was.
Maybe. I'm going to say it. You don't have to agree with me. That is on, these are senior teams, they don't have marketing departments. That's on the in-stand or the person doing the announcing at the game and the music. If you can't get that big of a crowd into a game, I'm putting it on them. I'm putting it on the players too, but I'm saying get the fans revved up.
That OCHAP barn, that was the most revved up they've got. The most in-stand experience you're going to find in any senior hockey game ever. They have a freaking mascot out there. From the fan perspective, because the team laid an absolute egg.
Oh,
like, they got a mascot with a drum. They got, you know, they do things that they don't do in other places. And
okay, I get you now.
And you just knew Millsy. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think the turning point in that game too was, what was it, 2-1 or 3-1? And Campbell goes down that kind of partial breakaway, full breakaway, and doesn't score. And what, minute and a half later, Lumsden comes down and buries one. And all of a sudden, you just see the sail right out. It was gone.
So the series is over.
The wind and the sail.
The series is obviously over, and I don't think there'll be any protests at this point. But funny story, first period, there's 3 minutes left. They don't run the clock for 20 seconds of game time. And I'm sitting behind the penalty box, and I think I was the one who was yelled at the loudest, "Start the clock," because they're just asleep at the switch, right?
And I turned to my buddy. And they thought you said start the bus, and they came over and just kicked the shit out of you.
No.
So, you woke up in a bush in OCHAP this morning?
So they start the clock 20 seconds late-ish, give or take. I looked at my buddy and I said, just watch. One of these teams is going to score in the last 15 seconds of the period. Sure as shit.
Stone guy.
Haywood for Lumsden goes in, kind of that long stretch dump in play when he scores with, I think, 10 seconds left in the period. Round Lake comes out flat as shit in period number two. They get down 6-1, I think it was. That's when Morasti and Co. tried to mix it up. Conrad McKay, everyone saw the viral video there that led to a couple of suspensions. Those Lumsden guys, by the way, wanted like Brown that went Morasti, he wanted nothing to do with that.
He did it because he threw his gloves off. And he just held on. It was
good
just
on him.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, if I don't know, you get in some of those hockey ones back in the, and it's like, no, Shane Zimmer or get away from me.
I think Morasti asked him three or four times before that. And Morasti was in Platts here as well, just looking for somebody. And I know, you know, when it got 6-1, you could see that it was like K-Boy's time to set the tone, as they say, on Shorzy with the gyms. And, tried to do that, but even those fights and stuff didn't really seem to spark Round Lake or the crowd at all, in my opinion. So, yeah, sends it back to Lumsden for game three on Sunday last night.
You guys were there. I was I don't know if I've ever been. I guess there's been some eights beating one in the NHL that I get confused about. Probably the other year was Memorial Cup, and the Pats lost out. I'm like, how the fuck did Round Lake lose? Let alone lay an absolute egg. I had them sweepville. I would have bet 10 grand on it. I was so cocky and arrogant. But
who would bet 10 grand on a senior game?
Who would do that?
And I was like, what? They like, I was at a Pee Wee game, and then that evening in Greece, and people are like, what's the score? And I'm like, yeah, apparently it's like an absolute blowout.
I had so many good tweets to fire off, and they don't work in that rink. You have to be 5 miles away from the rink for the tweets to start firing. Absolutely no service in that beautiful barn. By the way, I had a Bannock burger, 7.8 out of 10. Not a bad Bannock burger out there. Little onions, ketchup. Didn't mind it at all. But yeah, we go back to Lumsden for game three yesterday. Capacity crowd, I'd call it. Maybe not quite as packed as game one, but pretty damn close. It didn't feel quite as congested to me. Maybe it was just where I happened to find a spot. I wasn't sitting on the step like I was in game one, so maybe that was something to do with it. But
I had a good spot up top in that corner. It was perfect. Perfect view.
What's your assessment, Millsy? Close first period again, kind of same as game two.
Exactly. Just so I think the first period was good. Both teams come out maybe a little tentative, feel out the way of it going and the crowd and all that sort of stuff. But then I think Round Lake started worrying about what the refs were calling and not calling and overcalling, maybe allegedly, and it got it to them. What did they take? 3 10-minute misconducts, a couple of bench minors, and then that was the ending point there. They were more worried about the reffing.
Okay, I want you guys to answer this honestly. Start with you first, Brandon. Were the first few penalties at Round Lake got legit?
I think so. I'll preface, I don't remember every single penalty, but I don't remember any call where I was like, that was egregious. I never said that. And I feel that I watched that game in most games with a pretty neutral, I don't have a dog in the fight, to be honest.
Could any of those penalties been called on Lumsden? Like, was there anything, that they were like, oh, why wouldn't they call that on them then?
I think there was calls both ways that didn't happen that also could have been called. I think the refs had things they could have called that maybe they didn't as well.
Millsy.
Did they call it tighter than game one? Absolutely.
For sure.
And I think we needed more Mugger and
Folker. I think, and I'll agree with what Boz said. Like, I don't think there was any outrageous that they got called of ones that were, holy cow, that, well, I didn't even see that penalty. I think all that they called were penalties. And like Boz said, they didn't call maybe some. I thought there was one too many men in the second period that they missed on Lumsden. The guy jumped off the bench, played the puck, and the guy was still getting into the bench. And their bench was yelling. Round Lake's bench was yelling, and they didn't call it. And that maybe then really set off the Round Lake boys a little bit more.
I will say, I had some friends who watched on the Facebook Shawnee Bear feed, and these are also neutral, non-invested individuals. And from their perspective, like, maybe we can't see all the chippy work and things behind the play on the feed, but they're like, it seemed like it was a little tough on Round Lake, is what they thought watching it on a video camera from the top row. And I mean, everyone's going to have an opinion no matter what side of this you're on. I think to a man, as they say, I think if you looked at any Lumsden or Round Lake guy, if you asked them, did you play good enough to win? All reffing aside, I don't know that they would even think they played good enough to beat Lumsden.
Right. Penalties I think that they took more of the, yeah.
I think Lumsden had, I think there were 7 penalties is what I was told on Round Lake in the second. I haven't confirmed that. This is what I heard. I wasn't writing them down at the game. There's a lot. I think Lumsden walked away with 2 power play goals in the second, if I recall.
Give me the story on what everyone was talking about and Dwight King serving the penalty late.
I don't know far as the story. There was a bench minor and you could kind of see, like, from my perspective across the rink, Kinger was maybe getting a little frustrated that it was getting a little bit away from the hockey and just frustration, right? And then they teed up the bench and he just got up and went into the end of the penalty box. Yeah, he went and served it, which obviously
that's sending a message.
Like, it wasn't like the coach was like, hey, Kinger, go serve this one, right? He just got up and went in there. And
By the way, there was a delay. There was quite a delay, though, too, right? Like, they weren't sending anybody. And I don't know if that was just something they were doing on their own to say, screw you to the refs. And then Kinger just fine. I don't know. But, yeah, it was – see, we missed all the talk on the ice, too, stuff of what's going on and who's complaining about what and who said what and how they got their bench minors and all this sort of stuff, right? Yeah.
If we knew what was said, I mean, maybe some of the bench minors are totally justifiable depending on what was said, right? Yeah. One thing I would say in watching Dwight King, obviously you can tell like Barry's mentioned, his IQ is just watching him. He seems like a very respectful, didn't run his mouth at all, played the game in between whistles, didn't say anything, just put his stick down and played. I thought he was, that's the way more people should play the game, in my opinion.
Very well put. That's exactly what he's like.
A couple things that caught my eye. Lumsden, I thought Bryce Platt played really well on that line with Dufour. And those guys, I thought he had a really great game, got in the dirty areas, as they say. And Riley Riddell, kind of a cool, mild-mannered guy, scored the 6-2 goal after he took a penalty earlier. Scored the 6-2 goal, did the old big Sally, I can't hear you, hand up to the ear, Austin Matthews type celebration in front of the Round Lake fans. And there was a little screenshot of Shawnee's feed with one of the fans flipping him the bird back while he had his hand up to his ear. So kind of funny, funny there, and maybe a little bit out of character for him, but a heat of the moment Sally. And they're moving on. I want to give another shout out to the Lumsden and music guy, fourth week in a row. Obviously they come out to the Surfing USA, but two series they didn't do it against Belcaris probably because it was such a tight series. They did the same thing a bit against Drake. When they get up late, they start playing the Beach Boys, and the one they really hammered off with is Sloop John B, I Want to Go Home.
Yeah.
So you're up by 7 or 8 goals and you're playing the Beach Boys, I Want to Go Home. It's a nice touch.
Very good.
I had a text from Paving Stone guy, insider in Lobston, and he said, "Oh, the Beach Boys is fired up. You know, you can put the game on ice because that's when they loosen things up." But what do you guys think? Lumsden and Keniston, provincial champion and senior A, will be Millsy.
So I think their forwards group. Their forward groups match up very well. I think it may come down to that, and I'll say it, the 10th, 11th forward, because I think the top 8, 9 for both teams are really good. I give the edge in D to Lumsden, but I also think adding Dooley on the back end for Keniston makes them a little stronger. And I think both goaltenders need to play well and make the saves that they're supposed to. Both have been suspect, quote unquote, shaky maybe a bit at times. And I think both fan bases would agree with that. So I think it really comes down to how well they play. And if the Keniston D can hold off the Lumsden attack.
When is game one and where?
We don't know yet.
This weekend. Game one is this weekend in Lumsden. I've heard Sunday is the latest, not confirmed at time of recording, but potentially expect one to go down this weekend.
Going to Nevada Sunday.
Dang it.
Hope it's Saturday, dang it.
Going to depend on league finals as well. If Lumsden plays Belcaris Friday, they might want the extra day play Sunday.
Yeah.
It's kind of what
Keniston's going Tuesday, Thursday this week.
Okay, so you're taking Lumsden. Is that the synopsis?
Well,
the...
No, I'm not.
Pick a team. Pick a team. Flip a coin.
Okay,
this is from Lumsden. The most impartial guy telling you to pick a team. You better pick a team.
I'm taking Lumsden. I think their speed will overtake.
Barry?
Macaulay can hold for
Keniston. It was always the Blizz. Shirts are being printed.
I just hope both teams have fun, boys.
Oh, yeah. I know why you said that.
Why? I'll go I'll go Lumsden in three.
I could see it very easily going three. That's
Easter Sunday, maybe back in Lumsden.
Ooh,
a little turkey and head out there.
Yes.
Okay. Let's before we go to leagues, quickly predictions. Senior C, Wilkie, Outlaws, Kyle Elks. Who do we got?
Quick. I got Wilkie. I don't think I've I haven't seen Kyle yet this year, so I shouldn't talk. But I have a few guys that I talked to this weekend or yesterday out in Lumsden said that they think Wilkie or the Kyle that didn't impress them. So,
but again, never bet
Shania Twain guy.
Never bet against Keller and Harrison. Is what I've been told.
Well, we've never really been high on Kyle on this show, and we're going to take the Outlaw sweep in Senior C. Senior D, this is a bit of a pick 'em in my eyes. Redvers, Rockets, and Macklin. Boys, I'm going Redvers in two straight. Sorry, Macklin.
Barn?
Oh, this is a long way to travel. I'll go Redvers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Redverse sweep. Home ice they have. I think it, even if they happen to lose one on the 750-kilometer drive this weekend there and lose that one, Macklin's going to come back and win two in Redverse Barn. I just don't think they do it.
That's a long enough bus trip that for sure someone's going number two in the bathroom and just ruins it for everyone sitting at the back of the bus.
So wait. Bulletin board material for the Macklin Mohawks and
the Kyle Elks.
Kyle Elks, who don't need any more bulletin board material than they already have out there. Okay, let's go to...
what's your buddy's name from Kyle?
I don't know. It starts with a K. Gavin from Kyle or something like
Kevin?
That?
What a nerd.
Millsy, what league do you want to take us to first, buddy? Let's get through the champions here. Let's go through all the winners.
Okay.
Obviously, we know about the Gull Lake from about a month ago. We don't need to go... back to them,
Maple Creek, yeah. Well, Sass Prairie, Miota finishes off Glassland 8-4 and sprayed champagne all over. If you guys seen, so that one, yeah, didn't hear much, don't know much about that one, but congratulations to the Miota Combines on a Sass Prairie championship.
Well, I'll just quickly chime in. I think that was their fourth in a row and five in the last 6 years.
Okay.
So, like we've said on the show, and they've kind of adopted the saying, it was always the Bynes, and it has been 4 years in a row. So congratulations.
They used to have nice sweatpants. So they got some nice taste when it comes to gear. They might get the shirts printed. Hey, message us. We got a guy. Get him done quick.
Millsy, you might as well keep going with the winners.
Sure. Crossroads. The Dawsland Stars, and as you guys have put it, the best unis in senior hockey in the province. Come away with a 4-0 win over Crobert to crown themselves the champs of the Crossroads. Congratulations in the inaugural year to
the on the road, right?
Dawsland Stars. Yes, in game four.
Long 30-minute drive to Crobert, home after.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's number two. Number three was the Wheatland and the Tisdale Ramblers complete the sweep over St. Brew Lake Lenoir. Barney, I should let you take this one. I could have read them the website.
Yeah, no. My eyes have never been better since I haven't had a look at that thing today.
8-4 in game three and 6-3 in game two to win it all. Of the Wheatland, the Tisdale. Did Craig win it last year? Did they lose? Did they beat Tisdale in the final last year? Do you guys remember?
I think Craig's had a few lean years, haven't they? Or did they win it? Oh, no, they won it because they just beat everyone up.
Yeah. Did they beat Tisdale? I can't remember who they beat last year. So I don't know if Tisdale was runner-up last year and now the champs, or if they didn't make it to the dance last year and are now the champs. So
cool.
That's the one. And then the last one was game five yesterday, which Yellowgrass and Assiniboia. Yellowgrass wins. They played a 3-3 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yellowgrass sneaks one out 5-4, mm-hmm. I think it was, on Friday night. Assiniboia comes back and wins 6-2, and then 4-1 yesterday in game five, deciding.
I have some thoughts.
Buzz? Yeah, go ahead.
$22,000 50-50 in Assiniboia. 22 G's total jackpot I think one of the dealerships out there put in $8,000.
Started at eight, yeah.
But like, frick, is that crazy or what? Just talking about the hype earlier and people going early in big barns. I think they said there was about 1,000 people there, or 1,200 maybe, I read online. So
wow,
big things out there.
Wow.
God, I've seen some pictures. Crazy. There was people all over the place. Yeah, there was a good turnout. Good job out there.
Okay, let's get rattling here, boys. We've been on a long time already. We haven't got top 10. I'll go Twin. This Twin River Series is just living up to the most, pound for pound, the most exciting senior hockey league in Saskatchewan. Pound for pound escapes me from getting in shit with anybody. Once you say that, when something, people are like, eh, maybe, what are we debating here? Ethan Renier scores 6 seconds left for the Weed Kings over Birch Hills in game one. Then Birch Hills bounces back. 7-2 spanking. Series is now a best of three, as they say. Game three, Wheaties. 7-3. They ripped off seven unanswered goals to take game three. One win away from the Twin River Championship. Hey. Lose a nail biter. Birch Hills back 4-3. Tough. It's even at two, boys. It's going to game five Saturday. Oh, if I wasn't going to Nevada on Sunday, I would probably rip out to the final.
Over in the Long Lake, the Wadena Wildcats are one win away from hoisting a trophy. They're up 2-1 on Wynyard. They won game three, 9-1 after the first two games were split. I saw Gavin Ingram had a good tilly. Got the better of one of the Forsbergs, I think is who it was in that fight. So the Wagons are, they can close it out Friday night on the road in Wynyard. And if Wynyard can win at home, game five would be Saturday. So no matter what, the Long Lake is going to be over this weekend. Fellas are going to get Easter off out there, and obviously the Long Lake doesn't have any teams in provincials anymore, which some might find interesting. By the way, I was told this is the first time since 2016 no Long Lake teams in a provincial final. We might need a Long Lake hockey summit to understand what's going on out there.
Bring back Imperial.
Just quickly to the Coppell Valley Highway Hockey League, fellas. Last week, Wednesday, Belcaris took care of Milestone 4-0 in the deciding game five and sets up their date with Lumsden. We don't have any dates yet on those ones, but like you talked about, they're looking at obviously Lumsden. If I'm Lumsden, they're going to start this week for one for sure to get Kyle Johnson's game suspension out of the way so that he can play for this weekend. His one-game suspension turned into a four or five games it's going to turn into here.
Play two games in one day. Fuck it. Like minor hockey. It's a tournament.
So, yeah, that's your Coppell Valley.
Western Sales, dealerships all throughout the Sask Valley Hockey League. We got Elrose. We got Outlook. We got Davidson. We
Central Butte, bigger.
Central Butte, bigger. Elrose, yeah. Still in the mixer. Right on.
Yes, sir.
Keniston, Dinsmore is the final. Blizzard win game one, 8-4. This is a good series, fellas. Can we just do a quick around the horn? Does Dinsmore battle? Because this is all Dinsmore is playing for now, right? What do you guys think?
I took Keniston at the start of Keniston. This last week, and well, I think they're too high. They're on a roll.
You can always change your picks just because you
enough,
took them.
Enough couple days in between of rest. They're going to keep rolling. They play. They go. What do they go? Tomorrow, Tuesday night, they go. Tuesday, Thursday, this week.
Midweek.
They go.
Almost games, midweek game.
Games two and three this week.
Who do you like there, Mustache?
It was always the Blizz.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take Dinsmore then. Battle back, boys. Cinnamon bun country. Always cinnamon bun season. Okay. What's next?
Quick question. Yeah, go ahead.
Sask East Hockey League. We've got a final. We've got the Rock City Tigers and the Kenora Cobras, who come back from a 2-0 deficit to win three straight, win the series in five. couple of overtime games. They win game 5, 4-3. Josh Tripp, the day tripper, with the winner, 4-3. They get that hot Rokenville team, who I think Millsy hasn't played for
since March 8th.
March 8th. So it'll be 15 days in between or so when they fired up this weekend in the Sask East final.
I was going to say Jack's boy, but we're missing an E and an R.
quickly,
it was a it was a power play goal with a minute 25 left, tied 3-3. They scored to win the series. Go ahead.
I just say quickly, the Big Six, one game, Mooshman upsets Redverse, or what we consider an upset, 3-2 in game one, and they are going again on March 21st, which is Wednesday night. What's the 21st?
That's a midweek game, Melzy. That's what that is.
Thanks, buddy. And then
Thursday, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. And yeah, so that's where they're game two. They're delaying that one quite a bit over there.
So, provincials for Redvers, obviously. Hey, got to get that in with Macklin and that long trip this weekend. Working around that. What other leagues do we have here? I haven't been writing them down.
Sask Elta.
Las Vegas. How about those weapons, hey? They go down 2-0.
And we'll come back and win games 3 and 4 this weekend. 5-1 and 6-3. So, yeah.
We got a best out of three, as they say, hey?
Was a best of 7, turns into a best of 3. And they're going this weekend 3-3 if it goes the full distance.
We'll be good. I heard it was packed in there. I heard 800 or 900 in Lashburn for game 4. So provincials getting big crowds, but some pretty good crowds in league as well. So excited to see who wins that one.
We got to, I think you wanted to mention this too, this big support for Dallas Thompson, Husky alumni guy. There's a GoFundMe page for him. Anyone remembers that name? Dallas Thompson. Weapon, he's in a rough spot and they're just trying to raise some money for it. So yeah, the GoFundMe page. I don't know if we can message that out on socials at some point. Probably get people to go to it, or just go to GoFundMe, Dallas Thompson, if you remember him. Yeah, tough one there. Segueing into where do you guys, that's all the leagues?
Just the SAS West. Last one haven't hit.
SAS, can't forget about those guys.
Yeah, so Kindersley won that game 1, right, Millsy? Outlaws' first loss. It was just shy of a calendar year, I think a day or two short. They lose game 1, close one. They go back into Kindersley and win game 2. I saw the stats. Wilkie outshot Kindersley about 48-20 in game 1, lost. Kindersley's goalie has been incredible, I guess. He, Logan Drackett, I believe he's out of Alberta, perhaps, maybe working the rigs in the Kindersley area. Or just employed by the team, I don't know. But he had over 100 shots in those two games. So he's trying to give Kindersley a chance. But if you look at the stats, if you buy into that, the Outlaws have put up an average of more than 50 in the first two games. So game 3, Millsy?
Tomorrow night. Tuesday night the 19th.
So as I've been told as we record this, games 4 and 5 have not been scheduled yet. Wilkie was waiting to see what plays out with the Kyle Elks and the schedule for the provincial final.
We are going to come up with something for the Keniston Super Draft, which is coming up. The deadline's like April 22nd, maybe. Don't quote me on that. We'll have that. We're going to come up with something that any of the Nooner faithful that enter the Keniston Super Draft and you want to put your best box, and it's got to be legit. You got to be in the draft against ours. There'll be a nice prize. We'll come up with something there. Cause that's come. We were talking about it's everything around Keniston, right? Got to support the Super Draft.
Absolutely. Well, this has not been the high and tight show that we anticipated off the top, but let's get into the top 10 for General Well Servicing, day group of companies hiring in the oil field, Southeast Saskatchewan, Southwestern Manitoba. Millsy, why don't you give us the honorable mentions? And I think this week, like we discussed, let's give it to some of the new league champions who deserve their due.
Yeah, I agree with that. So the 4 league champions from this weekend, the Tisdale Ramblers, Assiniboia Senior Rebels, the Doddsland Stars, and the Meota Combines are your 4 honorable mentions this week new league champions crowned this weekend.
I like how you said that nice and slow. It's like the guy at the Lumsden game when he's reading the scratches and then he reads them back so you can make take notes. So, and I just wonder if anybody's in their truck or at home and they're like writing those down as you say them, right? They don't want to wait for the graphic to come out. They're just jotting down little notes, HMs. And then probably and then not.
Straight into Big John. Who sings that?
They love playing that in Lumsden. Hey, every game I've been at, that's played at least once.
Hey, fellas, just before you get into, I don't even know.
You would know this, Boz. That's a Rosetown hit you probably played.
I should know this. Jeez Louise.
While you're looking that up, Boz, how about just while we talk before we get into the final top 10 here, there is four teams left with double banner aspirations.
Oh.
Right?
Keniston?
The Lumsden Monarchs and Keniston Blizz. So obviously only one of them are going to get it because they're battling each other.
Red
maybe
verse.
Maybe neither of them. Who knows?
Redverse and Wilkie. Four teams left with double banner seasons on the verge.
Hola.
That song, by the way, is about a performed originally by Jimmy Dean, who wrote and composed it, released in September 1961 at the beginning of November. It had gone to number one on the Hot 100. It won Dean the 1962 Grammy for Best Country and Western Recording and was nominated for Grammy Song of the Year. So,
who sings it?
Jimmy Dean.
Oh, I was way off.
It was a follow-up to his other hit, Give Me Back My Heart, from 1961. Let's get into the top 10 this week. As we mentioned off the top of the show, it is brought to you by General Well Servicing Day Group Companies. One of you two can start us off with number 10.
I'll go 10. We're looking at you. Eyes on you, Rokenville from the Sask East Hockey League. 13-1 record. Didn't enter provincials. 5-1 in the league final. Love Rokenville.
In at number 9, they dabbled in our top 10 a couple weeks ago. They lost out, they got omitted, but they are back in from the Southwest, the Kindersley Senior Clippers.
In at number 8, they're trying to salvage their season with a Long Lake title, although I've heard they are still a little bit upset they didn't make more of a run in Senior A. They'll be back next year, the Wadena Wildcats.
Number 7 from the Big 6. This is your dad's senior hockey they play down there. Out of provincials, but they're up 1-0 in league. The boys from Moosomin.
In at number 6, the provincial, they're a provincial D finalist out of the Sask West, the Macklin Mohawks.
The number 5 senior hockey team in Saskatchewan this week. They were off the list last week, and we heard a lot about it. From out in Kyle, we got Keith's boys, the Elks.
Number 4. They are, again, from the Big 6, 16-2. Nice this year. They're so far rolling into the provincial final. That long trek. It is the Red Vers Rockets.
In at number 3, they held the number 1 spot for a lot of weeks. Lose out game 1 of the league final to Kindersley. They slide down to number 3. From Wilkie, Percy's boys, the Outlaws.
In at number 2, by the way, that means we've got a new number 1. For the first time in a long time. In at number 2, though, from a little place called Kokomo, the Beach Boys, the Lumsden Monarchs, number 2.
And your number 1 team in the province from McCraney Rural Municipality. Last census, there was 282 bodies living in this town. Always the Blizz, Keniston Blizzard.
You know what I love about senior hockey? They got a small rink that only holds 800-900, a town of 282, and you're already worried about if you're going to find a place to watch the game in the Senior A Provincial Final. That's pretty cool. That is pretty, pretty cool. Yeah, follow us along on social media. We'll get some of those schedules out, but we expect that all of these series will be fired up in provincials this weekend. So enjoy the provincial finals. Have a great week. If you have any concerns with the top 10, message us, DM us, email us, mondaynooner@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week, everybody. Let me go home. I want